Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, good Monday to you. I'm Kurt Erlinghaus. I am talking from the shores of Lake Erie, New York. It's very nice and sunny here. And I hope everybody had a great Mother's Day, their mothers and family yesterday. Good times for us, too. Really good times. So I was just wondering how everything is going today, and everything for me is going real good today. So, the topic is, I like to talk about mental health and faith and how it is connected today. So, everybody's okay out there. And oh, my mom's calling. Hello, Mother.
Oh, hi, Kurt.
How you doing today?
All right, I'm doing well. My back is a little bad, but I'm taking care of it. So how
good.
Are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm really doing good.
Yeah.
I'm getting better every day, and it's like, you know, it's a new day every day for us here.
Yeah, so, it is. Wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good attitude.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, welcome to the show. I wanted to talk about mental health and faith today, and how faith can override any kind of mental health issues you have. Because you got to put faith into your life all the time. And you know that.
Yes, I do.
Faith is the strongest part of any Christian life. And if you feel like feeling down and out, you should just turn to God and say, hey, well, take this over. And he will. He will. So,
yeah, bring your anxiety and problems to the Lord.
Yes, and then he will take care of them. But it's very interesting how people walk away from faith and all of a sudden they feel that their life is no good anymore. And then, then somebody like us have to come around and say, hey, you know, turn to God again. He's waiting there for you. He never forsaked you. You forsaked God, and you need to, turn around and talk to him about what's going on in your life.
That's right.
So, I run into a lot of people with that way. Like, oh my God, my life is horrible. Oh my God, what's going on? And I said, well, how's your walk with God? And like, look at me, like, what do you mean? You have to have a strong walk with God. I mean, you just can't walk away from God and think your life's going to be good. It's not going to work that way.
I don't think you can do it alone.
No, you have to have. I mean, maybe out there, who people are listening right now, maybe they believe in Buddhism or whatever. It's just a higher power you need to believe in. And I believe in God. You can believe in Buddhism. You can do whatever you want to believe in. It's your privilege. Well, you have to believe in some higher person to help you with your life. Because if you don't, then life is life is not worth it.
And Buddhism and Christianity are very similar.
Yes, it is. So is Judaism. Judaism and Christianity are very similar too. But it's like a person going through low self-esteem, and very bad depression, they seem to tend to think, oh, I have a really horrible life, And I, you know, it's going back to your faith again, and you have to have faith. And you also have to have people help you. I mean, don't be ashamed of talking to people about this, because it's an issue that won't go away. You have to talk to people that,
Yeah, and mental illness is a big problem, and I think COVID had a lot to do with it, because the humans are very social, and they like to get out and be with other people and talk, have a good conversation, and then all of a sudden people are isolated, and that's not a good way to live. We have to times.
I did some study on the increases of depression during COVID, and it went through the roof. People couldn't handle it anymore. And they, you know, unfortunately, they did something stupid, and because they didn't think they can go on anymore. And that's the shame, because, like you said, humans have to be social. We're a social being. We have to be social. And then, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that guilt comes down to being faithful, being faith, to have faith in whatever higher power you believe in. And because if you don't, I don't know, there's not much we can do for you. You know, you have to put your battles on God's hands, and He will take care of it. That's how I am.
And we also have to remember to wear masks. There's so many people that don't wear them anymore because they think, I'll be safe and everything. And even if you're vaccinated, you can get COVID again. And so wearing a mask is very, very important. And I wear a mask wherever I go, but I see a lot of people that do not.
Right. And that's their privilege too. If they don't want to wear one, they don't have to wear one. You know, it's up to them too. It's their freedom. And you know, people like you and Cindy and who wears masks, then that's your privilege too. So being a life coach I've been seeing a lot of people somehow just turn away from faith, and that's not, you need to have faith right now, because if you don't, you have to be strong. You have to go on every single day, say, okay, I can do this. And you know, depression is just a season in your life. It's just, you're going to pass it, and it's just going to fade into another season in life. Life is made up of seasons. No matter what you're going through, it's a season. And, you know, season mourning, season grieving, season of depression, and mental illness. But, again, it goes right back to faith, and you have to have faith to move on.
And people who don't have a lot of faith, I think it might be a suggestion to talk to your local minister and sit down with him and talk to him about it and what you can do to help you with your faith pathway to life.
Yes, and that's another good reason to talk to people, because you have to talk. You can't have this modeled into your life for a long time. It's not healthy for you to battle in your feelings. You have to talk about it. And people are not falling in. I just have to say, look, you don't be ashamed to talk to people. People are out there. Regardless of the friend, family, whatever, you need to talk. And you can't battle without winning. You know, people I know have battled your anger and your feelings inside them for almost 30 years, 30 plus years. Like, what are you doing? You got to talk.
I know. And to carry regrets for so many years about some silly thing that a family member did. And, you know, and there's cases where, oh, I'll never forgive him. And then 30, 40 years go by and it, you know, The word is, the best word is love and kindness and forgiveness.
Yes.
And you can forgive the person, and it makes you feel better to forgive.
I know, and you have to forgive. But people don't like that. Like, oh, you have to forgive the father that made you feel bad. And the guy says, oh, no, I can never forgive him. Like, well, it says in the Bible, you have to forgive the people who sinned.
Mm-hmm.
So, we got another caller. I'm Gary from Buffalo. Hello, Gary.
Hey, Kurt. Hey, Ruth.
Hi, Gary. How you doing today?
Very good, thanks.
Are you okay?
It also goes beyond that. He says, if you hold grudges, if you, somebody says, "Why? I got to be a Christian. I know I'm not a Jew."
Right.
And he said, but he said, have you ever lied? Have you
mm-hmm.
ever stolen?
Mm-hmm.
I told white lies.
if you have broken one infraction, you're guilty
right.
of the whole.
Yeah, but
so,
see, God, Jesus died on the cross for our sin. And
Yeah. I know that, but see, the thing is that in order to make it personal to us,
right.
to each individual, we have to
mm-hmm.
accept the gift of salvation by faith.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible
right.
tells me that faith is a gift of God, lest any man should boast, "Well, I've got more faith than you." No.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Gary.
No.
I was online yesterday, and I came up with a saying or a definition of somebody's definition of faith. And faith to them is not about going back to what's familiar. Faith is about the courage to follow your fears and be brave. Then that's how, that's how faith can overcome mental illness, because mental illness is a condition where you just basically give up on life, and then all of a sudden the depression is coming right through you, and it goes right back to faith. I think one next time when I have a new client come on, I'm like, how's your faith doing? Because it just goes right back to it. I mean, you have to have a higher power in life to say, hey, forgive your sins, forgive people who sinned against you, and move on with your life. You know, that might be a little tough on them, but sometimes you have to be a little tough. And, you know? So what do you think, guys? Is that okay? So anyway,
well,
that's
what do you do? Yeah, go ahead.
That's how I
it's okay
I can, like,
in
right.
a way, because like you said, like I don't know the scripture or the zip code of it, but I know that it said in the word, if you hold a grudge against someone else for a day, a week, a month, 10 years,
right.
whatever.
Yeah.
You know, God cannot forgive you because you haven't
right.
forgiven them. You wonder, how come prayers are not being answered by the Lord? And it said, well, look at your own life. Look at, ask the Lord for wisdom and discernment, and give it to you in abundance. And they'll point out to you things as I think David wrote after Bathsheba and her husband is that, Lord, restore the joy of my salvation.
Right.
Forgive me for I've sinned against God and man, you. But he said, restore to me the joy of my salvation.
Right.
And it was counted to God as righteousness.
So the biggest forgiveness is Joseph, who, when the brothers sold him into slavery, years passed until his brothers came looking for food, and Joseph forgave the brothers for selling him into slavery. And that was the biggest forgiveness there was. But you know, forgive your brothers. Here's your food.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So. But like
and
I
they
said,
threw
that,
Joseph in a. They threw Joseph in a pit.
You got to break it up.
Yeah, you're breaking up there, Kurt.
Oh, how's that now?
No, it's still breaking up.
How you doing?
Oh. Still breaking up.
Should we hang up and try again?
No, don't hang up. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can't hear you. It's all broken up.
All right, hold on.
Hmm.
Wow, you sound terrible.
Yeah, no.
I know you're calling my name, but I never heard nobody say it like that. I'm going to run to my grandmama and say, you called me out of my name.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, Kurt.
Kurt, you might have to check your headset if you open the call, then I don't know what to tell you.
I have when I open the radio show. I know it's my.
Oh, that's better, Kurt.
That's
I can hear
better.
You now.
Okay.
Country boy, we're talking about faith and how it can overrun mental issues. And we're talking about forgiveness. And I said that the biggest forgiveness in the Bible is Joseph forgiving his two brothers for selling him into slavery when the two brothers were looking for food. And. So, you know, I always think that mental issues in people are people who do not believe in God or just walked away from God. And I think when I sign up another client, I'm going to ask him right away, how's your life with God? And if they say, I've walked away, well, that's your problem. You walked away from God. God's there for you. You need to go back to God. What's your input on that?
Percent, 90% of the time when I have conversations with people in the spiritual realm, it's not doing counseling, okay?
Right.
If it is, they mentioned it. Because I try not to push my God on anybody. And before I know a person and know who and what they believe in, I would never ask nobody a direct question like that. I'll ask you something else to put a test question up in the air about your faith. I had a person ask me one time, why you pray over your food before you eat it? It's called thankful. It's called grateful. You want me to ask the question of how their faith is if he wants to know why I pray over the food I eat? There was no question there that he's elementary faith, because even before you learn how to talk, you learn how to close your eyes. He said he's a mind reader. He's hearing you say thank you even if you don't say nothing, fool.
Right.
Well, I never would call nobody that either. But in order to level the playing ground on faith, I told somebody, I told Lynn Cain and Ron Clayton last week that my spiritual mentor, T.D. Jake, for 40-something years, he enlightened me by telling us that hope is the grandfather or the mother earth for faith. Because unless you have something to hope for, or you're hoping help for somebody, or hoping that they get better, or hoping they arrive safely, hope is the grandfather. Faith is the activator for hope. So if you don't hope for nothing, you ain't even graduated to the mustard grain seed of faith yet. And a lot of times, especially right now, I don't care who you are. God is non-biased. He's driving everybody into a head-on collision with faith. Either you have it or you don't. And he made it real clear. If you do read the word, he says, without faith, it's impossible to please me. So, yeah, if somebody doesn't have any faith, then you might as well, I don't want to say walk away, throw the towel in, or do none of that stuff, but you're not going to be able to do nothing to help them, because without faith, they're not even willing to change. And I don't care who you are or how much faith you have, you'll never grow to the next spiritual dimension in your life unless you're willing to make changes. And all the experts in the world, I'll say this and I'll coast to a stop again, all the experts in the world, whoever they are, they'll tell you that if you try to change or attempt to change one's life for the better, it always works out for the better. But anybody that refuses to change, don't want to change, guess what? Change comes anyway. And most of the time it comes in a shape, form, or fashion that you don't want it to happen. And here's the closing part of that one. Those that have faith, all things work together for the good for those who love the Lord. But if you don't have no love and don't have no faith, you're part of the walking dead.
Right.
Back to you, Kirk.
Well, I totally agree with that, Country Boy. I think that's the way, how people run their lives. If they don't have faith, and they're not having any kind of healthy mental health with them. But they have to have something in them to carry on. And, it's like having a ship without a rudder. You have to have a rudder on a ship to steer it straight. And the rudder is God. The rudder is Jesus Christ. And you're on the ship of life. And you got to put all your problems to the feet of Jesus and say, hey, can you take care of this? And Jesus will take care of it. That's how I was brought up. My mom brought me up with Jesus and with the Bible based family. And that's how I always believe it. If you have a really good relationship with God and Jesus, your mental health is right on course. But I do agree with you on one thing, Country Boy, that I should not have, I shouldn't bring up God yet with my clients until I know what they are.
They will bring him to the table with you guys, regardless on whether you're talking about starting a sewing business or opening a bike shop. Somewhere along their walk, or somewhere along them introducing themselves and revealing to you that, excuse my French for lack of better words, they're stuck. They don't know what to do. They need your assistance. They need your help. Somehow, by you being there, whether they realize it or not, you was designed in the same image in God, and you just happen to be his representative. Most people that don't have no faith still think he's dead.
Right.
And I don't care what denominational faith you are in the world, and I've done a lot of research, that part about the Easter part, It has nothing to do with a bunny, y'all.
No.
But if you ask the people of different walks, different denominations, Methodist, Pentecostal, Baptist, doesn't matter, they all believe that he rose.
Yeah, he rose for you.
I mean, he's just not the savior of getting your great-great-grandmem across the Red Sea and all that kind of good old stuff. He's still alive and well. He's still in the healing business. He can still fix it. You know what I'm saying? If you think that God has written your life story, he did. And then before you even showed up in this earthly realm, he says, I have plans to prosper you. But when I was a young little old, one of them kind of folks growing up, my granddaddy pointed out so many things for me. We was listening to crazy music. I came up right after that big boom. What was the big concert back in the 60s? Y'all remember? Then was when I showed up on this earth and I was born. We was going around listening to, had a boom box, they call it, on your shoulder, listening to songs like "It's Your Thing." Yeah. Do what you want to do. Oh, my granddaddy said, whoa, come here, son. Come here. What's that you listening to? He said, what'd they say? It's your thing. Do what you want to do. He says, whoa, push the pause button, son. Let me tell you something about life.
Right.
Yeah, it's your life. You can do what you want to do with your life as long as it doesn't endanger or hurt anybody else, because your life is your life, but whatever you do always, like Coca-Cola, affects somebody else. It may not even be nobody except the person that birthed you. Yeah, your mama, your grandmother, those people was born with a disease. I think they have the same disease I have, Kurt.
What's that?
They was born with a disease called agape. You know, that's that crazy, stupid, unconditional, I know you messed up, I don't care what you did, you tried to blow him up, you shot the guy in the back, you still my grandbaby, I love you anyway, baby.
Yeah.
Unconditional love. When my grandmama showed me that kind of love, and she says, God showed us even greater love. For real? But let me explain to you, he will also chasten his kids. He'll spank your butt too. But he don't use a switch. I was trying to interpret all this stuff. When I was a child, I never thought as a child. Hey, I got a quick story for you guys. Talking about faith. Either you have it or you don't. I was self-employed at the age of 5. You'll never guess what my first business was, Kurt.
Newspaper route.
Life coaching.
At 5?
Yes, I was babysitting children. Yes, I was babysitting children. And the parents had enough confidence, enough courage to leave their children with me. Please understand, I got 12 years of my life in college now, 7 degrees. I didn't even have a high school diploma. I didn't have a GED. I didn't have no driver's license. Matter of fact, the only interview questions that they asked me, has you ever babysitted any kids before? And I told them, yeah. They said, okay, you'll do. What do you mean I'll do? You're going to trust me with your generational, you're going to trust me with the thing that you love more than anything in this world. What do you call it, Kurt? If I'm your babysitter, am I supposed to coach you and teach you and say, Kurt, put that back. Kurt, don't put that in your mouth. Kurt, put that down. Right. Kurt, you need to go take a nap. So I was doing that as a child. So when they used to say, I was a child, I thought as a child, they told me, boy, you too grown for your britches.
Right.
Too grown for my britches. That's another word for pants in the country.
Yeah.
Too grown for your britches. Do you know why? Because I hung out with people like my grandmama. When she used to say, baby, y'all go out and play, I used to go jump up in my grandmama's lap because they was bullying me. Now, grandmama, they won't let me play. Come on here, baby. You can sit with us. I knew where babies came from when I was 5. I delivered my first baby when I was 12. My grandmother was a midwife. She delivered me in a wash tub. Closest hospital, 30 miles that way. So what happens to the process of this faith? One has to work on his own faith. That is not something that you're going to get through your DNA. That's not something that you're going to inherit. That's not something you're going to read out of book. That's not something you're going to get a college degree in. Either you have it or you don't. Either you will believe or you won't. My grandmama says, baby, I'll be dead and gone and chaos will hit the world, but let me tell you that we do not serve a God of confusion. He made everything simple. He started out and said, let there be light and dark. Good and bad. If it's good, if he said it was good, saw it was good, and it was good, it's of God. If it ain't good, it ain't of him. Up, down, front, back, good, bad. If you come into somebody's life, Kurt, right away, instinctively, they should know you come for one or two reasons. You either come to help them or you came to hurt them. You either come to give them something or you come to take something from them. So that's the counseling I do. I'm going to let you know, first of all, I come to help you. I come to give you something. I come to encourage you. I come to enlighten you. I come to empower you. I come to introduce you to people. I come to show you. I come to do it with you. I come to tell you that you're going to be in business for yourself, but not
by yourself.
Yeah, so what happens in the process of me doing those elementary conversations, it builds up a trust factor in the person that you're talking to, because if they don't believe the words that are coming out your mouth, there's nothing that you can do to assist or help or coach anybody. One last example. I've spent 20 years coaching all-star teams. Best of the best, like Joel Griffin from the North, the South, East, and the West, and they bring them to me. I don't care what plays you ran when you was on your team over on the West Coast. You're over on the East Coast now on my team. So what happens in the process is I may not be able to run like you, catch like you, zoop, 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 but I can tell you if we're playing football, Kurt, you're better than that guy that's guarding you. I don't know what's wrong with you, Kurt. Everybody's watching you. Even the brothers that sold you into slavery and threw you in the pit, they cheering for you today.
Yep.
It's Super Bowl time. Country boy's throwing you up, Kurt. This time I want you to fake that way and go that way. And I want to see you doing your little dance in the end zone. Now get back in there and do what you do, boy. So I didn't run like you. I didn't catch the ball. Matter of fact, I didn't even throw the ball to you. I'm a coach.
That's how it is. Yeah.
God is a coach.
God is the coach.
He's not going to snap the ball, throw the ball, catch the ball. But he can give you the spirit to get down there. He can give you the spirit to run. He was regulating your blood last night while you were sleeping. He was watching you every heartbeat. He was there every time you took another breath. And if you don't have elementary mustard seed faith to know that you can't do those things by yourself without the power of the divine creator, Houston, I think we got a problem.
Yes, that's true. That's true. That's true. And I think I'm going to go back. Going back, what you just said, Country Boy, is awesome. Let's go back to the pandemic and being shut down, and that's where a lot of people had to put their faith into God. It's like, okay, I can't do anything right now, but I have God and God in my life. And, he, like you said, he is the coach. And we have to do what the coach says. And it's really, really, sometimes it's really hard for people to understand that. And like I said, you have to have a head, you have to have a head coach. And that head coach is God. And my mom brought me up as a Bible-fearing person, and that's how I am. And I could just like, you know, who are going through a lot of hardship for you. And so, what do you think, Gary?
I think it's fine. But, you know, the thing that, you don't, you know, it says those who pray for whatever they want, but don't pray to give, is either you're a taker or you're a giver. And, you know, if you take all your life, then it says in the Revelation that last day is the day of the Lord. There'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And many will say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And did we not do this? And did we not do that in your name?
Right.
He is saying, the Lord will say, depart from me, you evildoers. I never knew you.
Yeah.
Because
can you imagine what,
they,
can you imagine
knew about,
day?
they knew about God, but
mm-hmm.
they didn't know God. There's a total difference.
Yes. Yeah. Big, it's a big difference. It's a big difference in that. Because could you imagine that having those words said to you by Jesus? Now what are you going to do?
Yeah.
It's going to be a very hot day for you. But see, Jesus
died. Have you ever seen a production called Heaven's Gate, Hell's Flame?
No, I never seen Heaven's Gate.
It's a production put on. I forget now who put it on, but they used to go to church and stuff. And it said, like, there was a little figure, I don't know what the word is. Situations where there was, like, people who were going through life and... they were invited to church.
Right.
And they all made excuses. And one father and son who did everything together.
Right.
But he said, well, you know, we don't have to do that and stuff. We'll let your mother pray for us, go to the church for us, and they can pray for us. And stuff at the end. And at the end, they were on the last day. And the father and the son were there together. And they said, is their name written in the book of life? And they said, no, it's not. And all of a sudden, left, this guy comes up and dressed all in black.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Satan. And he says, come with me. And he said, no, 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 no. come and go in. And it says, those who know the Lord and those who think they know about the Lord are one thing, but those who know the Lord by studying, spending time in His Word, spending time in communication with Him, and spending time with deep knowledge of His Word will be able to realize heaven. And, wow, there's also a chick track called This Was Your Life. And
Gary, I totally agree with you, because a lot of people don't understand. God says, I gave you the churches. I gave you the malls. I gave you Bibles. I gave you the internet. I gave you cell phones. I gave you, gave you. He said right there in King James Version, please understand me. I am a jealous God, and I will have no other God before me. I gave you guys all these different places. I told you 1,000 names you could call me wouldn't be enough. I gave you different religions and different denominations so you could get a better understanding on who I am. But since you don't want to hear me, I'm going to shut everything down in the world system to where don't nobody want to hear what I got to say. They're going to hear what I got to say. If they will turn their hearts towards me, I will come back and heal their land. So I don't care if you're reading. It's not the first time that a pandemic has broke out in the world. One time he sent frogs. One time he sent flies. This time he sent a mosquito. Y'all think I'm joking? He says, if y'all don't want to hear me, I'll make the rocks cry out. Somebody's going to hear what I have to say. I'm God. Before there was a tick or a talk. Before there was a night or a day. Before your mama had a head-on collision with your dad. Before your mom was in her trimester. Before she made it to the hospital to deliver you. Before you knew what your name was. Before. Yeah. He says, I had plans to prosper you. I knew you. I knew your mama then. But so what happens in the process now is everybody, and again, I said non-biased, everybody has to, it's not optional anymore, has to develop their own faith. You didn't inherit it, I said you didn't learn it in college. You can read about it in a book, but God didn't write no Bibles. What did the people do years ago, Kurt, before there was a Bible? That's just a question. Just a question. They didn't have no Bibles. How did you get faith if you don't read the Bible? You don't have to read the Bible to get faith. It helps give you a better understanding. I know people that's been off to the war that can't even read that has more faith than anybody I ever met in my life and ain't went to school not one day. I know somebody that's been shot 3 times. Matter of fact, they say God died on the cross from 2 nails. My little buddy 50 Cent, they shot him 8 times, and he's still walking around here. It ain't got nothing to do with that kind of stuff. You have to believe or you don't believe. God will never give anybody a purpose-driven life if he didn't give you everything that you needed to do what he told you to do before he put you here. Now, it's optional on whether you do it or not. And as you graduate and grow older and mature, it's not just say yes. There's a word that you can put into your vocabulary. It's called obedience. There's some big old words. Sacrifice. They don't teach you that in elementary school. But he says wherever your faith is, you got to grow it. You got to grow your faith. So wherever your faith was when you was in the seventh grade, it don't work no more.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be, I used to live in Chicago, and then I had to relocate. God has the power to push the, I call it a mental zip code change button. He can relocate you. He can ask you to readjust, readapt, redo, refresh, reevaluate. So you'll be in position to receive your reward. But if you're not willing to do that, God don't like, he don't like disobedience. Nope. In the old days, Kurt, they call it hard-headed.
Yes.
Like Pharaoh, hard-headed, hardened heart, hard head, hard. But if you don't want to hear me, I'll speak to you in a language that everybody can understand. You didn't hear me when I was whispering and sending angels, so let me speak to you in pain. Let me speak to you in chaos. Let me give you some situations to where you don't know what to do. Let me give you a few situations you can't call your mom and them. You can't call your significant other. You can't call your brothers. I was telling a mentor to a guy, and he says, well, yeah, I don't believe in God. Ooh, my heart went into overdrive. Country boy is never speechless, but I had already spent 30 minutes, Kurt, and I told you the conversation about God never came up. But I said, yeah, God did, and he allowed me to do that, and he allowed me to do this, and he allowed me to get up this morning, he allowed me to have breakfast, and he allowed me to have a car to drive, and he allowed me, He says, no, I don't believe in God. I said, you don't believe in God? They told me when I was in elementary school, if you don't believe in God, you'll fall for anything. Matter of fact, you're going to fall. You're going to fall, fall. Nobody even has to trip you up. You tripping already if you don't believe in him. So what happens in the process, again, there comes some coaching. They call them pastors. They call them bishops. They call them evangelists. They call them country boy. They call him Ron Clayton. They call him Gary. They call him another Gary. They call us messengers. Mm-hmm. They can call us messengers. They can call us prophets. You can call us what you want to call us. Just call us.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Sometimes
and then we're here as representatives. That's all we are. When I started talking to a guy one day, Kurt, I was coaching him, and I said, yeah, I do this, and I do that. He said, man, you sound like God. You think you're God. No, he said he just made me in his own image. But he told me right there, I was reading, he said, you can do seemingly abundantly more than anybody could even imagine, even yourself. And then I was reading, it says Einstein told me that your imagination is nothing but a preview. Pre means before. View means to see. Nothing but a preview on what's going to happen in your life. He told me if your mind is the most powerful force in the universe, and if you can think it, if you can believe it, then I can give it to you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It goes right down to having faith. And then I
tell people all the time, if you think that you can do what the divine creator told you to do by yourself, then he didn't tell it to you. The things that he's speaking that exceedingly abundantly more requires other people to be involved in what it is that you're doing. I remember when the first time I ever paid to go to a life coach, and Les Brown, I paid $1,500 to go to his class. He's the first person that told me, if you think whatever you think you're supposed to be doing in your life, that you can do it by yourself, then God didn't tell it to you. Because he don't speak on them little small terms, on things that you can do for yourself, by yourself. Everything that he tells you to do in your life is a little bit bigger than what you are when he first tells it to you. Which means he has to give you a step by step by step. Let me grow you there. Let me grow you there. All that life that we spent going to school, that was a warm-up for life to understand that there's certain things, there's some rules, there's some instructions, there's some commandments, There's some laws. There's certain things that you have to do the way that it's been laid out to do. And if you decide that you don't want to do it the way that everybody else is doing it, that's
right.
Cool, too. If you're inventing some new stuff. But right now, I don't care. There is still a right, a wrong, a good, a bad, a up, a down. We should be able to be old enough and mature enough to discern and tell the difference in the truth. If you don't know the difference between right and wrong now, I don't care how old you are sitting under the sound of my voice, you got a problem.
Yes.
Might want to help. Might want to call some help.
You can start right here
at the Hope.
Yeah. I had a pastor one time tell me, if you want to hear, if you want to see God smile, tell him your plans in life. And
Say it again, Kurt. I didn't get that.
I had a pastor one time tell me that if you want to see God smile, tell him your plans in life. And every time I heard that, I kind of snickered about it, like, yeah. Yeah, you have a plan, but God has a better plan than you do. And we just have to be patient with him, you know. A year for God is like a minute for a year for us is a minute for God. So.
But see, but what happens in the process, if he's the one that designed you, if he's the one that created you, if he's the one that put inside of you all that fantastic world-changing stuff that you're allowed to do, then it would only make sense to be in communication with the architect who's going to show you how to build your life, how to build your family, how to build your friends. And, again, if you think that you can do things that you've never done before, that you've never been taught before, that's why we have coaches, Kurt. A lot of times we've been doing things, and just like you and I talked about last week, with you being a life coach and have a spiritual discernment, 30-plus years in the industry, you know what works, you know what doesn't work, and a person that's just now getting started, there's no way for them to know what you know because you have something that you don't just read in a book. It's called life experiences.
Yeah.
Nike says, just do it. But you said, been there,
done that.
And you can tell me whether, well, Kurt, I'll say, did it work for you? And you say, well, that part did, but I had to change this, and this.
Yeah.
I said, well, Kurt, you tried to grow a garden. What did you do wrong? You said, I forgot to water it. But next year when I grow a garden, I earn and learn and understand now you got to water it.
Yeah.
If you, I told you again, when we're life coaching, anything worth having and anything worth doing is worth doing wrongly until you learn how to get it right. But if you've got somebody like Kurt that's willing to teach you how to ride the bike, you got somebody like Gary that's willing to show you how to ski if you don't know how to ski. Matter of fact, I sit at the table in front of my granddaddy, and he said, whoa. I said, what? He says, that's not the way you eat, boy. There's a special way to eat. He says, you close your mouth when you chew. Oh.
Okay.
That's funny.
No, he's teaching me something. I didn't know you wasn't supposed to let everybody see all that food in your mouth while you're chewing it. It looks terrible. It looks like an Alka-Seltzer foaming up, boy, when you eat your oatmeal. Close your mouth. But after a while, as I grew older, I said, Grandmama, why do we have two forks? She says, one of them is a salad fork, baby.
Yeah.
How do you
yeah.
know the difference? She says, one of them is shorter than the other one. I go, okay. She says, see that spoon right there? That's a tablespoon. See that little one right there? That's a teaspoon. It's used for measuring. One is bigger than the other one. See that one right there? It has a little hole. They call that one a fork. Oh.
Yeah.
okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know. That's sorry. Exactly. Y'all can laugh if you want to. I didn't know the difference between a regular pork and a salad pork.
But now
well, your grandma did a good job bringing you up.
Now I know better. If you know better, you can do better. You mean we got a lady on the phone?
Yes, my mom.
Oh, yeah. I'm Kurt's mother. Kurt's
hey, mom. You're going to let me sit here and run my mouth the whole time without saying happy belated mother. Matter of fact, happy Mother's Day. Every day is Mother's Day. Did
oh,
you ever
thank
tell
you.
That little young man of yours, go away, I don't feel like being your mama today.
Oh, yeah.
Every day
well.
Is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been so rude. Sometimes I have to watch my language. Ron told me to be careful only if I'm not telling the truth when I'm on the air the other day.
When I was growing up, my grandparents always had a formal dinner table. They had like the big pork on the right, left, the knife, and he had a salad fork, he had a spoon, he had another spoon, and as a kid, I didn't know how to use them, and my grandma always taught me how to use them and stuff like that. It's just like you think you said, country boy, you know, we have to learn from our life experiences, and we have to learn from the people who have experienced it.
Yeah.
And,
we don't
want to
sit at the dinner table with our phones either.
We don't want to do what, ma'am?
We don't want to sit at the dinner table with our phones like some people
do. Oh, my Lord, sweetie. In my days, you couldn't even change the TV channel unless you asked my grandmom or granddaddy. But now you come to the table with a phone in your hand?
Oh,
no.
No.
I just had an overwhelming spirit to jump up. I know we're running short on time, and I'm a very wordy kind of person. It's 12:58 now, Kurt. There's some things I know you want to squeeze in these last 2 minutes, because I was getting ready to go on a roll and give you guys a story, but I want to push the pause button and turn it back over to you, Kurt.
Okay. Thank you, Country Boy, for all your input today. I really appreciate it. We have about a minute left. I just wanted to tell you that tomorrow night I'm having a Zoom meeting. It's called the Evening Chat, where everybody is welcome to come on and just talk. It starts at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. I have the information, the Zoom meeting information, if you want me to. I'll get phone to you through email. But it's just going to be people getting on and just sitting like... Imagine sitting around a bonfire and talking to people. That's basically what it is. So
let me say one more thing. You mentioned that. Let me mention one thing real quickly. Every Monday night for the last 12 years, Rick Reese, Lynn Cain, Ron Clayton, and I, we all have a spiritual call on Monday night at 9 p.m. So if you guys are not doing anything, we're not going to ask you what church you go to. We come on there with testimonies, good positive information, positive stories, and how to do marketing.
What's the number, Country Boy?
I'll text it to your phone. I have to pull it up because it has a code that goes with it.
All right. Please do.
I'll send it to you, Kurt, and maybe you and your mom can join us tonight.
Sure, 9 o'clock.
I haven't had the privilege of being in a church building in 28 years. It's the closest thing that I've had to church in 28 years, and I do it Monday. I look forward to Monday night.
I can't join you tonight. I play Mahjong online, but tomorrow, Kurt, I'll get information from you, and I'll get on Zoom with you.
All right, sounds good, Mom. I have to go. I'm way out of time. So, guys, thank you, Gary. Thank you very much. Take care, guys. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Tomorrow.
Awesome.